It's a wonderful experience to come to the house of God. And it's always a wonderful experience to come to little Bethlehem. Amen. If you know Jesus, it's a wonderful experience to come here. Things are happening at little Bethlehem that the eye cannot see. Unless you have a spiritual eye, you cannot see the things that are taking place at little Bethlehem. But if you can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, if you have an ear to hear, then you will know that great things are taking place at little Bethlehem. I remember one time, a great prophet, he had one that was with him, and this man came up to him, and he was all alarmed, and he said to his master, or said to the prophet, he said, "There's trouble." He said, "The alien powers, the enemies are closing in on us." And said, "Being few in numbers," said, "there's just no help for us." But this great prophet of God, he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And all of a sudden, the scales apparently fell from his eyes as it did Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. The scales fell from the man's eyes. The Bible tells us that he looked around him, and all around him was fiery chariots and prancing horses. Fiery chariots everywhere. And the prophet said, "They that are with us, they're more than they that are against us." You can believe that tonight. They that are on our side are more than they that are against us. And so then, you that have eyes to see, then you can see the wonderful things of God. And you that have ears to hear, you can hear the wonderful things of God. Every day of my life, I listen in on heaven. I'll never forget, I've related it so many times. I was in a vision, and I looked in this vision, and the Lord had lifted me up between heaven and earth. And there I stood in the great heights of heaven, and as I looked, I began to see the wonderful things of God. I saw the heavens, and I saw such beautiful, magnificent things, such unbelievable things. And I remember as I turned and I looked back at those that were standing in the earth, I was all excited. And I kept saying over and over, "Look, look, see what I see. Look at these wonderful things that God is showing in heaven." But I saw the people, every one of them, look at me in amazement. And they were very interested in what I was saying. And they were listening. But not one person saw the wonderful magnificence of those things that I was beholding. And I was so disappointed when I was suddenly made to realize that no one saw. And I heard a voice, and a voice said, "I am searching for a David." And I said, "Lord, I'll be your David." And you know that's what God's looking for tonight, a David. I wondered just what the Lord was trying to tell me when he said, "I'm searching for a David." But you know, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And actually what God is looking for is a heart that's fashioned after his heart. A heart likened to his own heart, that the Holy Spirit might live on the inside of that heart. A heart of tenderness, a heart of love, a heart of faith. That's what God wants us to have. The Bible tells us, God warns us in the scripture, he tells us that he said, "Beware, lest when I return, I find within you an evil heart of unbelief." So then let's not have an evil heart of unbelief. Let's have a heart of faith. Now, I want to welcome you to little Bethlehem. This is a place where we serve God and worship God with all of our heart. This is where we believe in the reality of God. We believe that he is the preeminence in everything and should have the preeminence in everything. And that we who are alive in this earth should praise him with all of our heart, to love him with all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our body. And the reward for obedience to God and for serving God is so great till there is no means of vocal expression to tell you or anyone what the treasure is to them that will follow after him. The Bible teaches that we have these treasures in these earthen vessels. It's hard to believe, but in this earthen vessel, in this tabernacle, we have those heavenly treasures. I'd like for you to stand with me tonight. We've had such a wonderful time in the camp meeting of the few services, I'll say, that we've already had, and the little time we've had to fellowship. We've had such a wonderful time, and I said the other night, just go on and don't pay any attention to the cameras. They're filming for our regular TV broadcast, and they're also out, Gary, and Ray and Kim's out filming tonight for Channel 11 News Alive. And they're just here to be with us and filming for, well, more than just to make a film. More than just to make a film. So let's just forget about the cameras tonight and get our mind right on Jesus and love the Lord tonight with all of our heart. Can we do that?
Amen.
I wonder if we can sing a little chorus together, can we? Now then, we usually sing this chorus after the service. But I thought perhaps it would be good tonight if we could sing it at the beginning of the service. It's a little chorus called, "We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." You know, we're here for one reason, and that is to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know God is looking for somebody that is dead in their human person? Somebody that has surrendered their human person to Him so that He might project Himself to the world, and that the world may record Him, and that all of the world may see Him, for He alone hath life. In Him there is life, and in no other place can you find life. And God is looking for members in the earth whereby He might project Himself, that all of those that have never drank of the fountain of living waters might see Him and taste of the waters of life, that they might live eternally. And He's trying His best to find those that are dead within themselves, that He might project Himself. And if we'll give Him our bodies in this life and give Him our temporal life, that He might project Himself to the world through us, then in the world to come, He will give us His eternal body, that our life may tabernacle in His eternal body throughout the eternities. I think that's a wonderful exchange, don't you? Let's sing this little chorus together to magnify His name and to lift Him up. His name is Jesus. There is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved except the name of Jesus. Can we sing it together? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you sing it again? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it one more time with me, can you? Let's really sing it for the glory of God tonight. How many of you would like to lift your hands tonight to heaven and worship the Lord? Can you do that? Just lift your hands up with me. I feel the mighty anointing of God already here in this place. I feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. I feel the angel of God troubling the waters tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up tonight and worship God. Father, Lord of heaven, as we stand here in the presence of Thy magnificent Spirit, O God of heaven, we ask that Thy glory, Lord, that Your glory would come down in the midst of the people. And dear God, that Your wonderful, sweet presence will move over us. And dear God, that something will take place tonight in the heart and in the lives of those that have gathered here, Lord, to worship Thee. I feel the delivering power of the living God, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, Holy Father, that You bless us. Stretch forth Your hand to heal tonight, Jesus. There be those that are among us that are sick, Lord, that are in need. Dear God, I pray tonight that You'd heal. I pray that Your Spirit tonight, God, will sweep out over the audience. May there be a divine deliverance, O God. Hallelujah, as I feel your presence tonight. May the Holy Sweet Spirit of God with his loving presence come down. May the mighty Holy Ghost woo the audience tonight, oh God, until they can feel the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, he that loves us more than our mother could ever love us, more than anyone could ever love us, I pray that your presence would be here tonight. Moved by your Spirit, Jesus, heal the sick. Forgive, dear God, tonight. Save the lost. Break every yoke. Take away every burden, every fear tonight, Jesus. Every fear, I pray it will be dispelled. Every gloom will be taken away by the wonderful presence of him that is meek and lowly in heart. Come into our presence, Jesus. I pray thee. Hallelujah. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Let's sing this together again, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Just one more time. Oh, we'll give all the glory. Lift your hands up and sing. Don't you want to give God the glory tonight? Sing about his love. Sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praise of his people. God is a spirit, and God inhabits the praise of his people. And it's when we begin to praise God that the Holy Spirit will come down in our midst, and he will have a place of abode. Let's praise God and give him the glory. Can we do that tonight? You may be seated. I thank you for your kind attention. I want to take this opportunity to once again say that I appreciate you being here. I thank God for every one of you. You mean an awful lot to me. Every person of God is very special. And maybe tonight in the message, if the Lord will allow us to minister the Word of God, maybe we'll say something tonight concerning just who you are and what you are. I hope that we'll have opportunity to talk with you. Once again, let's lift our hands up and love God for just a few minutes, can we? You know, that's why we're here tonight. It's camp meeting time. Time to come together and love the Lord. The woman met Jesus at the well. And as she stood there at the well, Jesus expounded the Holy Scripture to her and told her that she could have living water. Living water. If she would only believe. If she would only believe. Out of the innermost beings we shall flow. We shall, or out of these beings flow rivers of living water. And out of these beings we shall draw water with joy. Out of the wells of salvation with joy. Tonight, if we'll worship God, he'll come down in our midst. Tonight he'll give us of that living water that he told the woman about. Because he's nearby. He's always nearby. Always close by. I feel him tonight in our presence. How sweet and how wonderful. The song that we sang, precious memories, how they linger. Unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. Tonight, I feel his warmth. I feel his love. I feel his kindness tonight. And as we come near the word tonight, as we approach the moment of the word, how beautiful, how wonderful. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. For who brings anything that's more beautiful? Does the president or does the kings or the leaders of the world? Who brings something more beautiful than them that tell you that you do not have to die, that you have passed from death unto life because of what he did for you? I feel his presence tonight. He is so very near. I feel his touch. I feel him. He's near. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Brighter than the morning star. So wonderful, so precious. Let's love him tonight, can we? Can you slip your hands up? Let's love him together. Father of heaven, it's once again that we lift our hands up to thee, thanking thee for this moment of adoration, O God. Thanking thee for the great privilege of coming into the presence of the saints of God. For as Solomon of old said, who can speak before so great people? These people, Lord, that have passed from death unto life because of the things that you did at Calvary. I pray tonight as the warm flow of thy gentle presence sweeps over the audience that every need will be met. I pray, Holy Father, that every person will have the desires of their heart. If they be sick, I pray that you will heal them. And oh God, if there be any need in their life, financial need, I pray that you will abundantly meet it. Heal and save and forgive, Jesus. Look down from out of heaven and be with us in these services tonight. I ask it in the glorious name of Jesus, your Son, Father. Amen. You can be seated. I'd like to take a few minutes tonight. Tell you about the love of God. You know, when you are in great expectation, something happens. Just before there is a new addition to the home, mother is in expectation. Isn't that right? Dad is expecting something to happen. When we want something from God, we've got to get in great expectation. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we come to the place to where we are trusting in the divine presence of the living God with all of our heart, something takes place. Something takes place. I challenge you tonight to believe and be in expectation and see if God will not do something for you tonight. All right, it's so good to be able to turn to the Word and read just a little bit from the Scriptures. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, if you'd like to turn with me. We've read the scripture numbers of times. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant, the prophet. Now, you know, we're living in a very crucial hour, a very frightening time. For those that do not understand, it is a very frightening hour. I made the statement a night or two ago, as we approach this part of the meeting that this was the closing out of the days to the Gentile church. But we are now entering into the final hours of the closing out to the Gentile church. The grand finale, as the world would call it. We are entering into that hour. This is a very special time. A very special time. And God is beginning to move in an unusual way. You know, the world is looking for Jesus, but they're looking for Jesus in the wrong way. The Bible tells us the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men have pressed their way into it. Since the days of John, we've not preached the law. Men have not preached the law, but they have preached the kingdom of God is nigh, to repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. You know, we make a great mistake in looking for the kingdom of God by a literal means. Now, I know that God has created a literal world. God has created natural trees. God has created natural streams. And God has created natural birds. I realize that. But God himself is a spirit. Paul tells us that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by those things which do appear. So that we are without excuse. He said even to the eternal Godhead, we are without excuse as to who or what God is. Because he has given us allegoric means of understanding. All around us, even the heavens declare his handiwork. We are without excuse. And so then, in this hour, we are trying to learn about God. God has created natural things, but God is a spirit. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. And he called God the Spirit of Holiness. You know, sometimes they refer to the papacy of Rome as the Spirit of Holiness. But when Paul speaks of God, he refers to God as the Spirit of Holiness. There is but one, his holiness, and that is God. Isn't that right? And so then, God is the invisible spirit. Paul said he is the invisible God. The Bible speaks of the prophets of old, saying that they endured as seeing him who is invisible. They endured as seeing him who is invisible. A lot of times you perhaps have heard them sing the song, Invisible Hands Shall Guide Me. They'll show me the way. See, God is the invisible God, for he is a spirit. Jesus at the well said to the woman at the well, said, God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why Paul said, I would that ye be spiritual. I would like to speak unto you as spirituals. That is why that Paul spoke of the spirit of revelation. The one thing that's lacking in the church today is the spirit of revelation. I know you might have Christianity. I know you might be a Christian. I understand that. Thousands of people go to the house of God, and that's wonderful. I realize that you might know the doctrine of Christ, and you might understand many things. You might be well-learned or in theology. But see, there is something that God is wanting us to have. And that is the spirit of revelation. We must have the spirit of revelation. Why would God want me to have the spirit of revelation? Why would Paul tell the church to pray that God would grant unto them the spirit of revelation? Why would he do that? Because God is a spirit. And it's going to take the spirit of revelation to be able to understand God and to find our place in God or to have fellowship with God. Isn't that right? If God is a spirit, then we're going to have to be spiritual. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, but I cannot. He said, seeing that you are babes in Christ, I cannot speak unto you as unto spirituals. But you know, the hour is here when we should be able to speak unto the church as unto spiritual people. Isn't that right? See, the hour of the translation is here. We've got to stop looking for the coming of Christ by literal means. We've got to stop looking for some natural person to come, else we'll be deceived. The Bible teaches, in that day many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. But see, God is not going to be a natural person like you are. The Bible said we have known him after the flesh.
We have known him after the flesh. When he walked this earth as the Lord Jesus Christ, we knew him as the Lord Jesus Christ. We knew him after the flesh. Isn't that right? I know you after the flesh, so far as your first man is concerned, so far as your first birth is concerned. But the Bible tells us not to know any man after the flesh. But there is a second birth whereby we become a quickening spirit. He that is born of spirit is spirit. And there is a quickening spirit that takes its abode in our heart and makes us a quickening spirit. We have known Jesus after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh. Then how do I know the Savior if I do not know him after the flesh? Now you would say, Brother Pike, I know the Lord after the flesh. You could not possibly know him after the flesh because his human person is not present. How could you know him after the flesh if his human body isn't present with you? You could not know him after the flesh. But yet he is resurrected from the dead. The Bible emphatically states that he is resurrected from the dead. Isn't that right? And so that he is in our midst, he declares that he is in our midst. He declares that he is a Savior, that he is a healer, and he is here in our midst this very night. So then how can we know him? We must know him after the Spirit. I must know the Savior after the Spirit. I must know him by faith. I must contact him by moving into the spiritual realm and understand that he is a quickening spirit. For me to know Jesus after the Spirit is to have life. If I do not know him after the Spirit, I will not have life. But if I know him after the Spirit, then I will have the abundance of life. Jesus testified by saying, I am the Prince of Life. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. The word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I know that you have life, Jesus said. I understand that you have life. But he made the statement. He said that I can blot your name out of the book of life. Isn't that right? All of you are in the book of life. You live, you breathe, you see, you understand. We're all in the book of life because we are alive. We are the living. But Jesus said, I can blot your name out of the book of life. And he said, he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will continue to let him live. I will be pleased with him. And I will continue to let him breathe and let him see. I will continue to let him laugh and enjoy life. Because I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Isn't that right? So then it's such a wonderful feeling, such a wonderful experience to know that we do not have to die. That is not God's pleasure to blot our names out of the book of life. See, the enemy, Satan, he is here to kill, to steal, to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Jesus has come to give us life. Satan has come to take life. God will give you a loving, darling child. Satan, through the powers of death, will steal him right out of your arm. God will give a young girl virtue. The devil will rob her of that virtue. God will give somebody help. Satan will rob them of that help. God will bring prosperity. Satan will rob them of that prosperity. Why? Because he is a killer. He is a robber. He is a thief. But Jesus comes to give you life. God is the Spirit of life. How many of you appreciate God tonight? God is the Spirit of life. I remember one time I was having a little problem with a police chief in one place. And he came over to talk to me. We was having a tent meeting. And I began to talk to him. And I said, sir, I said, don't you appreciate life? He said, of course, you know. Talking to me, I said, listen. I said, God is the Spirit of life. I said, God is the breath that's going in and out your nostrils right now. I said, if you don't appreciate God, he'll just withdraw from you and that will be it. He courteously dismissed himself and left me alone. He never bothered me anymore. I said, now you can be the friend of God and aid God and everything will be all right. So then that's the way it is with God. Hallelujah. God is our present friend. Our help in the time of need. God is here to heal us when we're sick. God is here to forgive our sins because we need forgiveness. God is here to do something for us, to lift us up when we're despondent. He is a comforter in every phase of life. God is here to do something for us. All right, so then Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. The great Spirit of life is here in our midst tonight. We're gathered together to learn about God. God wants us to have His Spirit. He wants us to know Him after the Spirit. The kingdom of God is nigh unto you tonight. The kingdom of God has come near you tonight. He told someone on one occasion, he said, listen, he said, the kingdom of God is not far from you. Oh, you're not far from the kingdom of God. If you'll just keep answering me discreetly, if you'll keep saying the right things, if you'll keep thinking the right thoughts, Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He told the Jews, you know, excited. When Jesus began to work miracles, they began to ally with Jesus. And they said, this is no doubt the Son of David. This is the Son of God who will restore to us the kingdom. But as Jesus began to turn away from the worldly ways of life, they began to get discouraged. They tried to make him a king, but Jesus wouldn't listen to them. Even Pilate asked him, said, are you a king? He said, to this end was I born. So then they wanted him to set up a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. But Jesus answered them by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would war. They would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. And he so confounded the Jews because they couldn't understand. They said, but it's written in the scripture that the king will come and he will restore all things and set up the government. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now you can get a real lesson right there. Notice this. The Jews was expecting a literal kingdom in this world. Isn't that right? Someday God will give it to them. But it was out of season. They were expecting Jesus to set up a kingdom. But see, the Christ on the inside confounded them. Not the Jesus, but the Christ. To be able to differentiate between the Lord and the Christ. Can you be a little spiritual tonight if I speak to you spiritually? Differentiating between the Lord and the Christ. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean differentiating between the Lord and the Christ? The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Isn't that right? The veil of the temple was rent in two. Why was the veil of the temple rent in two? Because the Bible said Jesus made in himself twain. He made in himself two, both Lord and Christ. Is that right? The Bible said that he made in himself both, two, twain, both Lord and Christ. And then when Paul speaks of this vessel, he said, ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Ye are the temples of God. God shall walk in you. God will talk in you. Isn't that right? All right, so then God at Calvary, he rent the temple in twain. He separated the Lord from the Christ. That's what he did. He separated the Christ from the veil of flesh. Because God himself, the Christ, the Holy Ghost, tabernacled in the veil of that human body. He tabernacled in the Son of God. It was his tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I feel that I should stir your minds up. He said, for God has shown me that I must shortly put off my tabernacle. But if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. As I have borne the image of the earthly through the fall of Adam, the beastly perspective of life, so shall I bear the heavenly perspective of life. So shall I bear the image of Jesus Christ. So shall I be part of his body, part of that tabernacle of God that's in the Spirit, that tabernacle of God that's in heaven, that body of Jesus, whereas we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, the temple was rent in twain. It was separated one from another. The body had to yield up the life. The body had to yield up the spirit. Are you following me? God smote the body. And when the body was smitten, out came the Christ. Out came the Christ. You know, this body is nothing more than a tomb. It's just a bodily tomb that houses our life, that keeps our life in a prison by the fleshly lust and the fleshly desires and the passions of the body. That's all it is. It's something that desires much attention, wanting all of the attention through life. But how wonderful it is when we can do as Paul tells us, keep under our body. Subdue our body. Bring our body into subjection. Subdue our own thinking and not lean to our own thoughts, but to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. How wonderful it is when we escape the body. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? Oh, I'm a wretched man, he said, from the fall of the garden. I am a wretched man. I am distasteful in the sight of God. I am undone, the prophet said. In the sight of God, he said, who shall deliver me from this body, from this wretch that I am? Who can keep me from leaning to my own understanding? Who can take me away from the wild passions of the beast life that is present with me? For I find when I would do good that evil is present with me. I want to do good. I have a will inwardly to do good. But inside, outside, in my members, he said, I see another spirit, another power, another law warring against the law of my mind. And it's so powerful, it brings me into captivity to the desires of this human body. Isn't that right? So then what we want to do is get away from you and me. I want to escape me. Wouldn't you like to escape you? If I can escape me, I'll be all right. If you can escape you, you'll be all right. You know, it's like Adam wanting to blame Eve. One wanted to blame the other. But the truth is, you cannot blame me for your shortcomings. I cannot blame you for my shortcomings. You must blame you for your shortcomings. I must blame me for my shortcomings. For who is mine enemy? Satan is my enemy. You're not my enemy. You would say, but Brother Pike, surely people are your enemy. The Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If I do not have to wrestle against you, how could you be my enemy? If you're flesh and blood, I'm not wrestling against you. But the Bible tells us that we're wrestling against principalities and powers. Those evil spirits that live in the high places. How many of you understand that Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air? Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air. In this very air that you breathe, there's evil spirits. There's evil powers. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince, the ruler over those evil powers. God has rejected him and God has rejected those spirits. And Satan is the ruler over those powers. Those spirits are wandering through dry places seeking rest and cannot find it. Because they're out of the presence of God. But they know that you have a temporal life. They know that you have a little while in the presence of God as a temporal person. And they seek to inhabit your body. They seek to overpower your spirit and go inside of your body and live as a parasite on the inside of you to sap the life that Christ has given unto you. They are a robber. They are a thief. Those evil spirits seek to go into you. And the Bible speaks of Legion in the days of Legion. The Bible teaches that many devils was in Legion. In Mary Magdalene, there was many devils in Mary Magdalene. They had gotten into her body. Maybe it's a lying spirit. Maybe it's a cheating spirit. Maybe it's a lust spirit. Maybe it's a hatred spirit. Whatever it is, there's some kind of a spirit that has taken hold of your life if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And so these things inhabit humanity. You would say, Brother Pike, how can a spirit get into my body? Because the Bible teaches that man is made a little lower than the angels. Isn't that right? Man is made a little lower than the angels. That means that we are not as strong as angels. We do not have the might and the power of angels as a human being. We do not have the power that they have. And those spirits, those fallen angels, they come down and they enter in. They overpower us and they enter in. But beloved friend, when we are born of the Holy Spirit, we fortify the stronghold for God. Our spirit emerges into the Spirit of Christ, hallelujah. And then the Spirit of Christ inhabits this body. And we become mighty and powerful to where we can subdue the passions of this body and keep Satan out of our outer members. Can you say hallelujah? All right. Now then, the veil was rent in twain. The temple was rent in twain. The veil of the Old Testament, that veil that hang over the little 10 by 10, all the little places called the holies of holies, that little veil that hang there, all of a sudden it was gone. The Jews realized the veil of the temple was rent in twain, but they didn't understand because they was not spiritual people. Jesus said, destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. They said, it's so many years that we took to build this temple. What does he mean, destroy this temple? I'll raise it up in 3 days. But the Bible said that they understood not that he spake of his body. Destroy this temple, Jesus said, I will raise it up in 3 days. They understood not that he spake of his body. So then, there at Calvary, the body of sin, Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body? Oh, wretched man that I am. I cannot find the means of escape. I do not want to do evil. but I am a creature of circumstances and I cannot escape. Who will help me? Who will deliver me and take away this vile, wretched person that I am? Inwardly, I desire to do good, but I am not able to perform that which is my desire on the inside. And then he got a revelation. All of a sudden, Paul was taken away for about 3.5 years in the Arabian desert, and the Holy Spirit began to commune with him from heaven, and Paul received a revelation. And when he received that revelation, he turned and looked at Calvary, and he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh hath condemned sin in the flesh. And I am free from the old man. I am free from the body. Hallelujah. I am alive to God forevermore because Christ has taken my sufferings for me. Hallelujah. So then, I am free from the body. I am free, beloved friend, from the body. Because Jesus was willing to be made a body of sin, I am free from the accursed thing tonight. I am free tonight. I am not of this world. Now, when I say that, that's strong statements. If I go to say that, somebody perhaps would draw back or I would get a repercussion from it. But listen, the Bible said, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hallelujah. If you've got an ear tonight, hear what Christ is speaking to you. So then, I would say to you these things, and perhaps I would get a repercussion. But did you know that I am not of this world tonight? I am not of this world. Hallelujah. I am not of this world. You say, now wait a minute, where's their Bible for that? The Bible said if you was of the world would love you because the world loveth its own. But I am not of this world. I am not of this world. What world then am I of? Jesus said, Peter said, pay your taxes, son. Don't grieve them. Don't get them upset. We might offend them. Said, but pay your taxes. Said, but when we cross over to the other side, there's going to be a Supreme Court. And said, we're going to have a hearing over this thing. Said, when we get on the other side, said, I'm going to indict them because they force strangers to pay tribute. I am a pilgrim. I am a stranger. I am not of this world. I'm seeking a city that hath foundations. Hallelujah. Whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel his power. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Where is that city? Abraham said, I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. He said, this city has foundations. You know, scientists have learned that the world doesn't have a foundation. They found out it's just a great big ball out there with the rest of the balls floating around. But the book of Revelation tells me that this city I'm speaking of has foundations. Hallelujah. Abraham said, I'm in search of a city that's got a foundation. And the writer said, and I saw those lovely foundations of that holy city. 12 jeweled foundations. And the name of the apostles was written in that foundation. I am searching for a city that hath foundations, Abraham said. I can wax bold tonight. I can testify of a testimony tonight that Abraham could not testify of. Abraham said, I am a stranger. I am a pilgrim. I am searching for a city. But I want you to know tonight, I am no stranger. I am no pilgrim. I am not searching for a city. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And tonight I'm standing in the city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a son of God tonight. The Bible tells us that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. That is speaking to the Christians. For God hath done it. He said to them, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. See, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? He said, you're not looking for it right. Said, the kingdom of God doesn't come for observation. You cannot see it with your eyes. Scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. Going back here, why, you could never see God like that. The Bible said, God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen. Moses did not see him. No man ever saw God. No man. He said, the great light under which no man can approach. No man can see him. No man ever seen him. said, who no man hath seen nor can see. Isn't that right? Not only hasn't seen, but he cannot see me. The Bible said he's a great light. What kind of a light? In the book of Revelation, it says when John looked, he saw the Ancient of Days sitting upon the throne. And he said, I saw him whose face was like the sun. He said it was as though the sun shined within his strength. And the great light, the Ancient of Days, began to appear. He said, and when I saw this great thing taking place, he said, I looked and said, the mountains fled away. All of the mountains skipped. The Bible said, the prophet speaking said, that the mountains skipped like a little lamb. When he came present, when the Ancient of Days came present, that great light came present, the mountains skipped like a little lamb. And the Bible said the mountains just fled away. There was no place for the mountains. All of the earth fled away. And there was no place for the earth. Why? Because he, the Ancient of Days, the great light, had come forth. He said, I will destroy the image of the evil one with the brightness of my coming. So then, God unveiled his masterpiece at Calvary. He brought the kingdom of God, and he said the law and the prophets were until John, but now I'm unveiling the kingdom of God. I'm unveiling the masterpiece. Just a few short years after the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus, just a few short years, not very long, just a few years afterwards, we find John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos, 96 A.D., having been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. There he was writing about this great revelation. I asked God one time, I said, Lord, I said, what did he write about? I said, this has got me. I don't know what he wrote about. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said he wrote of the unveiled Christ. Said that's why he called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because it's Christ within you, the hope of glory. It's Christ coming forth from within you to the world. Paul called it the revelation of Jesus Christ because he said it pleased God who formed me in my mother's womb that he would reveal his son within me, reveal the life of Christ within him. And tonight it pleases God that we be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that God might reveal from within us that wonderful Christ. So then the law and the prophets till John, and then the great masterpiece was unveiled. There the masterpiece was unveiled. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. There the great masterpiece was put on exhibit. There the great masterpiece was made an expose. There, hanging at Calvary, hallelujah. Every time I think about that, I get religious. I mean real, genuine religious. When I think how that God took that body and hung that body there to free me from this wretched, beastly world and this wretched, beastly man. Somebody said, well, I don't want to get out of this world. But the Bible tells us that this world is an evil world. Is that right? The Bible teaches the world will pass away. It is an evil world. God's wanting to take it away from us. Who shall deliver me from this world, Paul said. Christ Jesus, the same way he delivers me from the body. I said, Lord, what did he write of? Here John wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, son, it was the unveiled Christ. I said, Lord, can it be possible that all of these things that John spoke on are recorded in the book of Revelation? Is that at all possible? Can that be possible? But beloved friend, God took me for a number of years and carefully opened the book, unveiled the book, and showed me that everything that John wrote about happened at Calvary. Out of that one little scriptural reading, you say, Brother Pike, is that possible? It happened at Calvary. It happened at Calvary. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. That was the fullness of time. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, when the fullness of time comes, we're going to do such and such, and God's going to do such and such. But the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. My friend, that was the fullness of time. That's why Peter spoke of people being ignorant concerning the flood and the passing away of the world. He said to this one thing, people are ignorant that a day is 1,000 years with God and 1,000 years is as a day. He said the old world that perished by water. He said it passed away, but the earth abides forever. So when you say the world is going to pass away, the first thing you think, is the earth is going to pass away. But God said he made the earth to be inhabited. Isn't that right? All right. So then, the law and the prophets till John. Peter said this is the end of the world. The law and the prophets said this is the end of the world. Isn't that right? The end of one world and the beginning of another world. Someone would say, Brother Pine, if that was the end of the world, then pray tell me what this is that we're in right now. We are in the church ages. Can you say amen? I said that was the end of the world. But that Pentecost was the beginning of the church ages. Hallelujah. That world passed away. But we who believe in God, we've moved into another world. Ever since that time, ever since the masterpiece has been unveiled, ever since the kingdom of God came into this world, men have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. That world has vanished away. Satan hath no more power to a believer. Can you say amen? I said Satan hath no more power to the believer. He that is born of God, Satan hath no power over him. You know, the devil has to have someone to sin before he can have power over them. But he that is born of God cannot sin. Therefore, Satan hath no power over him because he cannot sin. He is born of God. He cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. If he cannot sin, then why should he spend his days in sickness? Now, somebody wrote me not too long ago. They read one of our articles, and they said, Brother Pike, I'd like to tell you something. They said they thought that I might know a few things, but said I'd like to tell you something. I'm always glad to learn something. From out of another country, I believe it was. He said, you say that all sin is caused from, all sickness is caused from sin. He said, I don't agree with you because, he said, I'm a Christian and I'm sick. His wife was sick. I said, so I don't agree with you. But you know what? That's no foundation for a conviction, is it? If I say that I've lost one of my arms and God doesn't want us to have two arms just because I've lost one of my arms, that's not reason for conviction. See, what are we going to use for our absolute? Somebody said, well, I use one thing here for my absolute. Somebody said, I use another for my absolute. But I use the Word of God for my absolute. I use the Word of God for my absolute. This has been proven down through the years. Isn't that right? So then this is my absolute upon this foundation right here. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then all sickness is because of sin. You say, how can you prove that all sickness is because of sin? Because there was no sickness until sin came. Can you say amen? Was Adam sick? Was Eve sick? That was a world that they lived in. There was no sickness until sin came. A lot of people confuse the scriptures. Jesus went over there and healed somebody that was all bowed down. And they said, we want to know who sinned. We want to know who sinned to cause this. Said, they didn't sin. Jesus said they didn't sin. Said, well, maybe it's their parents. No, they didn't sin. Some said, it's for the glory of God. What, the sickness? No, the healing. God's never put a sickness on somebody for the glory of God. It was the healing that was for the glory of God. It was that when Christ came close to this person, that the people might see the miraculous take place. That's what glorified God, was the divine healing. Faith is what glorifies God. The voice spoke from heaven and said, I have glorified my name. Jesus lifted his voice to heaven. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. The voice said, I'll put it in my words here, said, Son, you've got my name. Every time you work a miracle in it, that glorifies my name. The Bible said in his name shall be called Everlasting Father. He said, I come in my Father's name. If another had come in his name, he'd received him. But I come in my Father's name. Every time you work a miracle. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, Son, I have glorified my name and I will glorify my name. God wants to glorify his name tonight. Hallelujah. If Christ can work through you, God can glorify his name tonight. Every time something is done in the name of Jesus, it glorifies the name of God. He said, because thou hast kept my name, I will give thee a name that no one knows but thee, and to whom thou shalt reveal it. The new name. But there's none other name given unto heaven whereby men must be saved. All right, give me just a little bit longer now. We're not going to keep you long. Just hold on here for a few more minutes. I know I've kept you a long time. All right, now, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Why was that? There was an expose. See, God was trying to tell us something, children. God was saying to us that by smiting the body of the Son of God, that put an end to sin. That put an end to sickness. By His stripes we were healed. That put an end to it. We are free from the old man. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, Paul called it. I am delivered by the body of Jesus. The veil was rent in twain. The spirit was taken out of the body. And the Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Why did God do that? Why did God separate that spirit from the body? There was a reason for that. Now, why did God do that? There was a purpose. What was the purpose? God wanted you to see. Those that can have the spirit of revelation. Those that can receive the understanding. For remember, it's all by faith. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. By faith, we're translated into the kingdom of God. Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God, the mind of Christ. But remember, by faith, we was translated in. Is that right? It's going to take the spirit of revelation to open your eyes. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. It's going to take the revelation of Christ. Christ revealed to you. For you to know what I'm saying. Now listen real close. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Bible said when the minister is speaking, it shall not be him that's speaking, but God that speaks from within his temple. That all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. Now, if that was the veil that was rent, if that was the end of the law and the prophets, if it was folded up within the body of Jesus and laid away, if now this is the kingdom of God, if this is the kingdom of God, pray, Father, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John, but now the kingdom is come. And thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And the Bible said they preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. That was their ministry. If the kingdom of God has come, beloved friend. Now, that means that since the days of Calvary, the kingdom of the living God is present in the earth. And he said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is not asking us to pray that his will be done in heaven. God's will has always been done in heaven. But he's asking us to pray that his will be done in this world. Amen. In this world, thy kingdom has come, Father. It did not come by observation. He said the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. He did not say we would go into the kingdom of God. He said, you shall inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit spirit. It takes spirit to inherit spirit. He that is born of the spirit is a spiritual being. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that walketh in the flesh, the Bible said, if thou art in the flesh, then you cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit. So if the veil of the temple has been rent in twain, then that means that you and I are free from the body. What was he showing us? That our old man is dead by the body of Jesus. That I am resurrected from the dead by the Spirit of Christ. For the Bible tells us that he was delivered for our offenses. I offended against God. By the fall of Adam, he was delivered and bruised for my transgressions. But the Bible said when he came up out of the grave, he rose for my justification. He came up and rose for my justification. Now I am alive. He was delivered for my offenses. That is ended. Now I am alive because he rose for my justification. Therefore, being justified by faith in what he did, my justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God, the Holy Spirit of life, through the atonement, the blood, the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. But the shedding of the blood, that is not what God wants us to consider to say that we are Christians. For that does not do it. Just because he shed his blood did not make me a Christian. Because he shed his blood did not make you a Christian. It doesn't make anybody a Christian. But it's when we have faith in Christ, when we believe on the name that shed the blood, then we have the application of the blood through his name. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The remission of my sins is through the shedding of blood. That is true. There is no remission without the shedding of blood. But the remission is given to me or personified to me by the name Jesus. That's why Peter preached on the day of Pentecost that we should repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It takes going through the name. No man can come to the Father except by me. No man. We have to go through the name Jesus, for he said, I am the door. I am the door. That's why we sing the song, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. You want to stand with me? I love to sing the song that we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Because that's what we're doing, Christian friend. That's what we're doing. The kingdom of God is nigh you tonight. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might understand that by the rent veil your old body is dead to sin forever, and that by the resurrected Christ your inner man is alive forevermore, and that your old man that was in the world is dead and buried, and he with the world has passed away, and the ordinances that had power over him, which was the law. But now we are resurrected into Christ, over which the law hath no power. Having paid his debt to society in your behalf, then we are free from the law of sin and death. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. And transgression of the law is sin. Where there's no transgression, there is no sin. Where there's no sin, there is no death. For the sting of death is sin. Therefore, I can boldly say, O grave, where is thy victory? I can say, O death, where is thy sting? You do not have any power over me, because he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot die. Paul said, in that day it shall be revealed, in that hour, that the word of God shall reveal that men do not have to die. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? I'm happy tonight because death hath no power to sting me, because I am not under the law. And transgression of the law is sin, and I am not under the law. Glory to the name of Jesus. He that hath delivered me from the body of that death, that body over which the law had power, I am free from it. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Thessalonians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. We shall be changed. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and they said, Lord, if he sleep, he do well. Jesus said, he is asleep. He's sleeping. I go to awake him. As long as you go to sleep, my friend, you can be awakened. When a man's born again, he hath to overcome sin and death. Is that right? The second death. He hath overcome it. He cannot die. That spirit, that life on the inside has made contact with God. He cannot die anymore. The second death is the lake of fire. He cannot go into the lake of fire. His spirit can never die. His spirit can never be separated from the spirit of life, which is God. Because separation from the spirit of God is death, the second death. But see, there's more to it than that. Just being born again done that for us. We can't ever die. But there's more to it than that. Jesus said, I go to awake Lazarus, he sleepeth. He said that death of the body was asleep. Paul waxed bold and said, not only have we passed from death unto life, as far as overcoming the second death, which is the spiritual man, being alive forevermore on the inside. He said, but I show you a mystery. Even the outer man shall not sleep. There's going to be some people that's going to redeem the body. Even the outer man shall not sleep. We'll stay awake from now. You love Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? God does everything in types and shadows. I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I lay me down to sleep. And when I close my eyes, it is typical of a man that has died. And all through the dark night, he goes. Until the brightness of the sunlight, the day star. The sun is a star. When the day star dawns within our heart, then the morning comes and we awake. Oh, how beautiful is the morning. Like the song says, and the sun's coming up in the morning. What a beautiful thought. I lay me down to sleep. The Lord my soul shall keep. For David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, that's the word in the spirit, they comfort me. I walk through this valley, which is a deep valley when you look down from heaven. And I walk underneath the shadow of death, which is the shadow of Satan, the prince of the powers of the air, the clouds between the sun and the earth. But yea, though I walk through this valley of that shadow, I will not fear the evil of it. For he restoreth my soul. His word, his spirit, they comfort me. If I go away, I will send you a comforter, Jesus said. I've been a comforter to you, but I will send you another comforter. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. I want you to worship the Lord with me for just a few moments. I want you to slip your hands up with me, will you? While we meditate, the Bible speaks of meditating in the laws of God day and night. Pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. The Bible said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Beloved friend, examine yourself tonight. Your conviction might be in something you think. It might be in something you've learned. It may not be in the word at all. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. It might be in something your parents have passed down to you. But lift up your hands and eyes and heart to heaven. Close your eyes, examine yourself and see if what you're thinking, what you believe, what you're doing, if it is a spiritual thing and if it is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's what the Bible calls will worship? The Bible speaks of will worship, said these have will worship. It has indeed a shoe of wisdom. It seems to be right, for there is a way that's right unto man in his own eyes. The Bible said man's ways is right in his own eyes. But Jesus said, I'm the word, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man can get in but by me. Isn't that right? So then let's examine ourselves tonight. And let's say, Lord, what do I believe? Am I in will worship tonight? Do I will myself to go to church? Do I will myself to pray? Do I will myself to try to do right? Oh, what a miserable, wretched life that is. Or do I have an unction from the Holy One by new birth that I am thrilled and alive forevermore? Do I have that unction? Do I have it? Am I really alive? Do I have that beautiful unction from God where it is a thrill? David said, I'm glad to go into the house of God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, David said, than to abide in the tents of the wicked. Isn't that right? So then, do you have a joy in serving God? Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Do you have that joy, peace, and righteousness, friend? Do you? Do you have the jubilance and joy of Christian living? Do you have an unction, or do you have will worship? There is a Cain and there is an Abel. There is an Esau, there is a Jacob. There is a Christian, there is a believer, there is a make-believer. There is a Christian, there is a proselyte. But let's love him for just a minute as we examine ourselves and see if we are in the faith. Hallelujah. While you pray, while you meditate for just a few moments, will you? Will you? close your eyes and reverence God for just a few moments, will you? And lift your hands up to heaven, will you? Meditate for just a few moments, folks. Praise God. I feel His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel Your presence, Jehovah. Mighty Jehovah God. I feel Your lovely presence. So tender like a dove tonight. I feel You present to heal. I feel You present to forgive. I feel You present to save souls from sin. Lord, You said if we can believe. Lord, as we worship just a few moments tonight, I want You to bless us, help our faith to go out to Thee. In the lovely name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Sing the little chorus together. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, many have come. There is still at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross. Still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Now, while they're playing on the organ tonight, as always, I want to give you a chance to come and make it right with Jesus. I know that you do not have to come here to make it right with Jesus. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But we're living in a lovely time. A time when you can call upon the name of the darling Son of God and receive deliverance and be saved and never have to die. Have eternal life. While they're playing, I want you to step out and come down here with me. Will you do that? Will you step out and come down here with me? Will you let Jesus do something for you tonight? While they're playing on the instruments, would you just step out? By that, giving God a chance. Don't stay back. We sang the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. What a beautiful sight. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Can you let God tonight bless you? Can you let God tonight help you? Can you surrender to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings tonight? Hallelujah. I can hear the voice of the turtle dove tonight. Solomon said when the voice of the turtle begins to call, when the poppies put forth their little faces, how beautiful, how lovely when springtime comes around. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree put forth its buds, know that summer is nigh. I feel it so nigh tonight. I feel Christ so near, so close tonight. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. The summer is over. The winter has come. The harvest is past. And many are not saved yet. Won't you give Him a chance tonight? Won't you lift your hands up to God? Won't you give Him a chance tonight? If you love Jesus tonight, let's rededicate our lives and our hearts. If you're lost and undone without God tonight, let's call upon the name of Jesus. Friend,
The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest and the vineyard shall send forth laborers into his vineyard. We pray, Jesus, use me. God wants to use you tonight. I said earlier, if you can give him this body, your temporal life, he will give you his eternal body and eternal life. Wouldn't you like to be a testimony for him tonight? Wouldn't you like to be able to lay down upon your bed tonight and know that you're never going to die? Knowing that death hath no more power over you, and knowing that you'll never be turned into the lake of fire. Christian friend, it's real. It's real tonight. You know, there's a real lake of fire. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to acknowledge that. And a lot of times we take the attitude, we would say, but God would not turn anybody into a lake of fire, Brother Pike. God would never do a thing like that. But listen. Listen to me. If I turn away from the preaching of the word, if I refuse to hear the pleading voice of God, and I refuse to hear the voice of the minister, and I refuse all the printed pages of the gospel that's brought before me in my lifetime, and I refuse to listen at the things that God may project to me through medium of radio or television, or I refuse to hear the pleading voice of some mother or dad, if I spurn the grace of God continually, and I trample over the blood of the martyrs and over the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then I jump headlong into the flames, can I then say God has sent me to hell? Can I then say God is cruel and God has turned me into a lake of fire? When I have refused, when I have rejected, when I made my own choice, when I went my own way, when God pleaded with blood-stained hands, with blood streaming down his face, with a vesture dipped in blood, he made his plea at Calvary, saying, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. For he that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Died with a broken heart. The tears streamed down his cheeks. In the prophets, one of the prophets of old spoke prophetically and spoke of the Savior. And this is what he said. He said, though a mother may forsake her suckling babe, though a mother may turn away from her child, yet will I never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never forsake thee. And then he waxed bold as he caught the vision of Christ. He said, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands that I might be in remembrance of thee always. I shall never forget thee. For with the nails I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, that I might remember thee by the way of remembrance, so that I will never forsake thee. Jesus loves you tonight. You got a strong promise, a strong hope. All you've got to do, Christian friend, is hope in him tonight. Can you lift those hands up again? Can you? I wonder tonight, would you kneel down on your knees tonight for him? Would you kneel down on your knees tonight? Just kneel down on your knees tonight. Would you do that? He that done so much for us, would you close your head or your eyes and bow your heads out there that's in the audience? Would you do that? Just close your eyes. Bow your heads with us. Would you do it? Lift your hands up, friend. Now let's call on his name. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt thee in due season. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father of heaven, tonight, as our people here at this tabernacle and from abroad kneel down before you tonight, O God of heaven, I pray that through thy tender mercy that you would be kind to us. Father, remember little Bethlehem. And dear God, remember the people of the world tonight. Remember world evangelism tonight, Lord, and those that are around the world that we reach for tonight. Jesus, give us the unction of thy Spirit. Hear from heaven and heal our lands, Holy Father. Hear from heaven tonight and save our people. Father, I pray that tonight the presidents, the kings, the queens, the rulers of the world, Father, you said pray for all men and pray for the leaders of the nations. I pray tonight for the leaders of our world, Holy Father,
that you may quicken to their heart the right way of life. I pray for humanity tonight, offering prayer for all men as you commanded us to do, praying that you will grant repentance of life unto those men. I pray tonight, Holy Father, that you would look down upon the world, and dear God, that you will grant to them tonight your wonderful forgiveness and your wonderful blessings. Deliver us from the awful things that's coming upon this world. I ask you to save and I ask you to heal. I ask you to forgive in the name of Jesus tonight and for thy glory. Holy Father, Brother Taylor, praise God. Can you love him tonight? Can you love him? I want to sing this little song with you. While you worship the Lord. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you love him tonight? My soul, it's complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me, will you? Sweep over my soul. Sing it. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it's complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I oh, how I need thee. Don't turn him away. In, oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you need him to plead your cause on that day. Oh, list to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. I feel tonight there are those that want to surrender their heart to God tonight. Some of you have never had an experience with God, but the Lord revealed to me some of your spirits tonight and showed me that you want an experience with God, a real, genuine experience with the Lord Jesus Christ.
I saw these two girls from California. So far as I know, they've never had a real experience with God. But God revealed their heart to me and let me know that they really wanted a genuine experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. That they actually wanted to live right and to have that wonderful eternal life that we spoke about tonight. It is so wonderful to know that Jesus is here and that Jesus cares. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. Can you sing this little chorus with me? And while we sing tonight and the Holy Spirit is present, I want you to consider tonight. The Bible said, consider your ways. If your ways please God, He maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. Sing the song with me, can you? Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Can you touch Him tonight? Can you touch Him tonight? Can you? I love the touch of the Lord. The song said, glory, 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 somebody touch me. Then the songwriter said, just another touch, Lord, from You. You touch me, but just another touch, Lord, from You. Can you sing it? Just another touch, Lord, from You. Can you? Oh, just another touch, Lord, from You. Can you sing with me? To me with the trials I go through. Sing it. Can you? Be the night I can see a ray of light. Another touch, Lord, from You. Let's drop it just a little bit. Let's sing it again together, can we? I'm just a little hoarse tonight. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from You. To help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from You. Oh yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Sing it again. Oh yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me.